going to discuss their six slichos today, the march in Yerushalayim.
Okay, so we're continuing to do this tefillah. So we're up to the part of tefillah, the part of karbanos. The institution of karbanos doesn't appear explicitly in the Gemara to say karbanos is part of tefillah, but already the Rishonim quote from the Gaonim had a tradition that one is supposed to recite a series of psukim about karbanos and mishnayos about karbanos, all different parts of karbanos that we say bisman hazeh. The question is, where did this come from? What's the whole idea of saying karbanos? So there are really two different themes that are expressed by the Rishonim as to why exactly we say karbanos in the first place. So one of them is what Tosfos quotes in Masechet Sanhedrin, is that the saying of karbanos enables us to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah properly. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin that a person is supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with a combination of different parts of Torah. Really, all of Torah is broken down into three categories. There's Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. So Mikra refers to Chumash and Tanakh. That's Mikra. Mishnah refers to just the halachas psukos, just the straight, simple statements of halacha like this, basically what appears in the Mishnayos without all that much explanation. And the third is Gemara, is Talmud, what refers to the understanding of the Mishnayos, the asking questions, the resolving difficulties, what we basically call Gemara, and Pilpul, and Lamdus, and all of the above. So Gemara says that a person is supposed to be involved in all three parts of this of Torah. Gemara has a comment in the Pasuk, V'shinant al v'necha, V'altik v'shinant al v'shilashtam. It's a play on the word v'shilashtam, that you're supposed to have shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, v'shlish b'gemara. So there seems to be a machlekes of Rishonim, what exactly that means? Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'gemara. How does that express itself l'maisa? So the Rambam, in Ilkhos Talmud Torah, spells out what the person's day is supposed to be made of. How is a person supposed to divide his time in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah properly? So the Rambam writes that you have to figure out how many hours you're going to be planning on learning that day. And each and every day you should divide up. If you learn X amount of hours, so one third should be in Mikra, one third should be in Mishnah, one third should be in Gemara. So the Rambam just gives you an illustration. I guess we could probably give a little bit of a sigh when we read this Rambam. But the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah writes, I'm going to describe to you an average day of a balabas. He says, a person who's working in balumnus. So the Rambam's not describing, Adonian Kotel is not describing a Rebbe. It's not balumnus. So the Rambam says, Lamashal, a balumnus. So he spends 9 hours a day learning. That's what the Rambam describes. He says 3 hours a day working. That's the Rambam's ba'umnus. So already later, Achronim pointed out that maybe the Rambam was zeichet to have such umnius, but most of us don't have such umnius. It's hard to get a job that only calls for 3 hours a day. But the Rambam says, Lu Yitzir, a guy's working 3 hours a day, and he's learning the other 9 hours a day. So this is what his schedule should be like. So the Rambam says he should learn a third of the time in Mikra, a third of the time in Mishnah, a third of the time in Talmud. And the Rambam writes, when he reaches a certain point in his learning, he's already finished Mikra, already finished Mishnah, so he knows it already. So then he should spend a little bit of time chazering, so he shouldn't forget. And then he could switch off to the bulk of his time being Gemara. So I guess we assume by the time kids are in sixth grade, they finish Mikra and Mishnah ready. Then we assume already the Rambam's high level of learning. So the Rambam understood the Gemara of Shito, that each day you have to divide up the day appropriately. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'gemara. So Tosfos seems to have a little bit of a different understanding of what that means. Tosfos quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the reason why we're not so careful about this, why most people today, even those who are learning 9 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, many hours is learning a day, usually don't divide this up accordingly. So Rabbeinu Tam says the Gemara doesn't mean that you have to mamish learn exactly a third, exactly a third, exactly a third. What the Gemara means is that every day has to have a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. So Tosfos writes that we have that because in our Gemara, when the Gemara was speaking about Gemara, when the Tanaim used the phrase Talmud, they weren't referring to Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli wasn't written yet. So what did the Tanoim mean when they used the phrase Gemara? So Rashi explains what Gemara meant to the Tanoim was just saying Pshatim and Mishnayis, understanding this one hold like this, this one hold like this, this is Stira, this Mishnah Shalok Alok. What the Gemara ultimately does, so that's what the Tanoim were referring to. So Rabbeinu Tam says that by the time Talmud Bavli was written, in the days of Ravina and Ravashi, so Ravina and Ravashi incorporated into the Talmud Bavli a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. On any given page of the Gemara, there's going to be a little bit of, there's going to be a Pasuk, or something, a Mokhar, a Pasuk is going to be quoted. Then there's probably going to be a Mishnah somewhere, a Mishnah Brisa, some Halacha Psukah, and then inevitably there's going to be some give and take, some Rashat Patari in the Gemara, Akash, Teretz, Achlekes. So that's going to be, through just learning a Daf Gemara, learn Daf Yomi. So you're going to fulfill Mikra Mishnah Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam said, Chapter Zman Hazeh, we learned Talmud Bavli. So Rabbeinu Tam says, our play on the word Bavli is Balul Bakol. That means it has everything mixed into it. Every page in the Gemara has a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. Obviously, Rabbeinu Tam realized that it's not going to break down exactly. It's not going to break down 33. Rabbeinu Tam said that was okay. Rabbeinu Tam wasn't so concerned like the Rambam that it has to be an even split. Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam seemed to understand that as long as you have a little bit of each every day, that's okay. So that's what the Gaonim held as well. The Gaonim said that we have to ensure that every Jew learns a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara every day. Doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect split, but at least a representation of each of the different halakim of Torah. So that's what the Gaonim said, that we institute the idea of saying Karbonos. Because if you say Karbonos in the morning, so then you have a little bit of everything. You have a couple of psukim from the Parshas Atomid, Ketores, then you have some Mishnayis, there's a Mekoyma, another Mishnayis, then you have Rabbi Shmuel, which is a Braisa, which is Talmud. So if you say all the passages of Karbonos, so you get a little smattering of Torahs. And no matter what you do that day, even if you don't do anything, if you go to work for the whole day, you don't learn anything the rest of the day, at least you were yaitz in the midst of Talmud Torah, of Mikra Mishnah Gemara. So this is one approach that the Rishonim have to the institution of Karbonos, that the institution of Karbonos was basically just a vehicle to fulfill the midst of Talmud Torah. According to this understanding, they really could have picked any psukim, any mishnayos, any gemara. It's a nice thing to pick, but it wasn't per se because of any special reason about Karbonos proper. The then we showed me, I don't know, there's a reason why we dafka say these psukim. We could have theoretically picked others to fulfill Talmud Torah, but dafka, we instituted Chazal, or the Gaonim have instituted the saying of Karbonos, instituted dafka these psukim, because of another dimension that Karbonos has. The Gemara has, in the end of Maseches Menachos, Zos Torah Sa'ola, that call Osik B'Torah Sa'ola, Kilik Rivola. Sometimes you have a situation where I can't bring a carbon because there's no Bisa Mikdash. But Lamais, I'm chayv to bring a carbon. Certain times I'm chayv to bring a chata, certain times I'm chayv to bring an ola, certain times I'm chayv to bring a carbon toda. So many of us have obligations to bring carbonos at different times of our lives. We spoke about this last night, that we mentioned that when a person converts, so they become chayv to bring a carbon. And in the olden days, the practice used to be they would actually set aside money to a Behari of Anamikdash, they would use that money to buy the carbon. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai abolished that practice shortly after the Chorban, because people were leaving money around that was Hekdesh, and they were using it for their own purposes. So that ended up to be a problem with Me'ila, they were using Hekdesh like you did. So we don't actually designate animals anymore to bring his Karbonos, but a person sometimes has a Chiv to bring a Korban, so what are you going to do? So that's what the Gemara says in Menachos, that the next best thing is called Isaac Mataris Ola Kilik Revela, that if you learn the dinim of Karbon Ola, so that's Ki'ilu you brought it Ola. You learn the dinim of the Karbon Talmud, of the Karbon Chatas, the Karbon Pesach, it's Ki'ilu you actually brought the Karbon. So it's based on this that also the Gaonim added, that one is supposed to learn dafka the halachas of Karbonos, since we don't have the ability to bring a carbon today, at least the saying of the Karbonos, the saying of the parashas, should be older to us as if we brought a carbon. That's why there are many who have the practice that when they get to different parts of the Ezim Akoyman, so they actually make that statement, Yiratzon Kiilui Krafti Oyla, Yiratzon Kiilui Krafti Shlomim. Just that the post can point out, when you get to the part of Yiratzon Kiilui Krafti Chatos, so you shouldn't say that phrase, Yiratzon Kiilui Krafti Chatos, but even a chayv chatas. You only bring a chatas if you're obligated to bring a chatas. If you were mechal Shabbos, deraisa b'shoigeg, then you have to bring a chatas. If you ate chometz b'pesach b'shoigeg, then you have to bring a chatas. If you ate in Yom Kippur b'shoigeg, you have to bring a chatas. If you didn't violate any sakaris that day, so then you don't have to bring a korban chatas. So it would be not correct to say yiratzu kilu krafti chatas. If a person brings a chatas, but he's not obligated to, that's chulin bi'azara, that's bringing a carbon, that's bringing animals, not kadosh. If you're makdish, animals a chatas, and you're not obligated to bring a chatas, the hekdesh doesn't even take place. So that would be incorrect. So certain kavanos, you have to be careful. You shouldn't say, yiratzon kilu krafti chatas, or yiratzon kilu krafti osham. You have to say, yiratzon im nischayavti kilu krafti chatas. Yiratzon im nischayavti kilu krafti osham. It's the post can touch up a little bit. Then there's a question, some said that maybe you shouldn't say those Yiratzons on Shabbos. Because if you say it on Shabbos, Yiratzon the Karbon and Oila, you're not allowed to bring an Oila on Shabbos. You're only allowed to bring a Karbon Toda, a Karbon Tamid on Shabbos, a Karbon Musil on Shabbos, Karbonis Tzibra Dech Shabbos, but Karbonis Yachid, personal, private Karbonis, and not Dech Shabbos. So Again, so those who don't say any of these yiratzons, you have to be too careful. Those who say, you have to figure out when to say, when not to say, what the nusach should be. But again, the idea behind saying these kavanos is this idea that should be yiratzon ki'ilu, that a person actually brought the korban. So there are really two different kiyumim taking place in the sake of kavanos in the daytime. There's one idea that it's fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's enabling everybody to fulfill a little bit of Talmud Torah in the proper manner. And number two, it's getting that special kiyum, that special fulfillment of neshama parms for saying that when a person can't bring a korban, he should at least learn, at least discuss the korban, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will count that as if he's bringing the korban itself.
In the hierarchy of Hashivas, actually when we did this, I think like 10 years ago, we also wanted the Hashivas of which ones you say, which ones you don't say,
yeah.
And as far as if you have a short time, do you have a Kabbalah's hope
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about it, but of course it comes late to shul, we'll get to Pesukah de Zimra soon, we'll see what a person skips around, what moves around, we'll go back a little bit, yeah.
If the whole idea of Kavanos was for Talmud Torah, the Torah and the Gemara and Mishnah, didn't we already accomplish that by Birchas HaTorah?
There are some who had the minhag of where they would say Birchas HaTorah, and then they would say Kavanos right after Birchas HaTorah. Uh-huh. Many of us say Birchas Kohanim after Birchas HaTorah, but there are many who would say Nosin HaTorah, and then they would say Vedab Shem Moshe Mitzav Smech, so they say immediately into Kavanos.
Where does the Akedah fit into all this?
The Akedah is a different story. Akedah is not really, really part of Kavanos. The Akedah, Shulchan Aruch quotes, is somewhere the minhag of saying the Akedah every day, that, you know, to Me'or Rach Meshumayim, somewhere such a minhag, but that's not the formal. The formal Kavanos are the parishes that deal with the Kavanos problem.
So that case
of
modern thing with
the Polish. That's a modern. The Shulchan
Aruch
already
quotes it. Well, right.
Goes back a long time ago.
Is it
who started it?
Right.
I don't know who. The Gemara.
Is the Kabbalah Hashik connected
to that? I don't think so.
So Kabbalah is also like.
The same Kabbalah every day doesn't even say in the Gemara. We find the Gaonim had it. The Amorim also say Kabbalah, maybe. I don't know, but it doesn't say Beferish in the Gemara. The Rishonim are bothered with the question about the saying of Kavanos, and the truth is that it's really a question that permeates a lot of things in our davening, but since the first time we bump into the problem is in Nuchas Kavanos, that's where everybody formulates the question, and that's what Shulchan Aruch discussed there. The question becomes, what right do we have to say Psukim, say the Psukim of Parshat Tomid, say Tzavis Bnei Sova, say the Parshas of Tomid, Parshas Ketayrus, etc. What right do we have to say a series of Psukim? The Gemara says Beferish Maseches Gittin that Dvarim Shebichsav Yeta Rosh Al Umam Bialpeh. The Torah was divided into two parts. There's the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebialpeh. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that those two parts should remain distinct. Torah Shebichsav has to be B'toch HaKsav. When you say Psukim, it has to be, you read Psukim out of Sefer Torah. You don't just say Psukim by heart. And Torah Shebialpeh is supposed to be Dafka Bialpeh, Dafka by heart. You're not supposed to write down the Torah Shebialpeh. So the Gemara derives from Psukim. Ksov Luchos Advar Ma'ila. Ki al pi advar ma'ela. Ksov luchos loshin ksiva. Al pi is loshin v'apeh. So here, derived from here, advarim shebichsav have to remain v'chsav. Advarim shebapeh have to remain v'apeh. And there's an issa, Pasha, there's an issa deraisa to violate this distinction. To say the v'torah of Torah shebichsav v'apeh is also. To write down the v'torah shebapeh is also prohibited. So how come we have a Gemara, we have Mishnayos, everything is all written down. So the Gemara says that in the days of Rabbi Danossi and then later in the days of Rabbi Ravashi, so the Tanoim and Baroim came to the realization that if you don't write down the Torah Shebapeh, it's going to be forgotten. There was so much of these Golos and there were Chubanas and there was no Sanhedrin anymore and people were running around. It was very hard for people to remember all the Torah Shebapeh. So therefore, because of Shichas HaTorah, they were permitted to do so. What was matter of to do so? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Eis Lassas Lashem Eferus HaRasecha, that sometimes you have a situation where the Chachmei HaTorah have to decide that if the whole idea of this halacha is supposed to enhance the Shemir Satorah, the whole reason why the Torah wanted the Torah Shebapeh to remain Biapeh was Dafka to enhance the Mesorah, to strengthen the Mesorah, to force the Tamidim to learn directly from the Rebbeim, to have the whole Tzura of Torah Shebapeh as it was supposed to be. But if that whole Mesorah is backfiring, it's not accomplishing anything, it's going to forget, it's going to lead to Shichas Satorah, so then there's a special Gzeres HaKosel, there's a special halacha that Chazal have to figure out whether that halacha, where and when that halacha applies. There's not a free for all for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to decide when Eis Lassel Shem Eferes HaSecha. There's a special din that was given to Chachmei HaTorah to decide when you're allowed to, in a sense, quote unquote, violate this din, when you're allowed to write down the Tosha Rapeh, and that was decided in the days, first in the days of Rida Nossi, and then a little bit later on, in the days of Ravin and Ravashi. There were different opinions whether Rida Nossi actually wrote down the Mishnayos. Rida Nossi collected the Mishnayos, Rida Nossi edited the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos that we have today are the life work of Rida Nossi, whether he personally wrote it down or not. So there seem to be two different versions in the Gaonim as to whether it was actually done with Rida Nossi's pen, or whether Rida Nossi put it all together, compiled it all together, and then a little bit later on it was actually put onto paper. It doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, historically it's interesting, but it's not too much difference in halacha. But for sure, by the days of Ravina and Ravashi, so everything was written down. The whole Toshua Pel was written down. So we assume that that's perfectly okay, even though at one time that would not have been accepted. So just as there's a din of Tosha B'Peh has to remain B'Peh in theory, so too Tosha B'Chsav has to remain B'Chsav. So the Rishonim are bothered with the question, how could we say Pesukim? We say Shema every day. We don't open up the Sefer Torah and look inside. We say Parshat Tomid. We don't open up the Sefer Torah. Kohanim get up and duchen. They don't hold up the Sefer Torah and read Yivrach Hashem. How do you do that? How could you say Pesukim B'Peh, the Gemara of the Farish, Dvarim Shem B'Peh, Yeta Rosha, how do we explain away this phenomenon? So the question Shulchan Aruch is presented in the Siman about Kavanos, even though the question goes way past Kavanos. It's just this is the first mitzvah that we have. This is the first in the daily in routine. This is the first time that we run into this problem of saying Pesukim B'Peh. How do you solve this problem? So there are different answers in the Rishonim. What exactly the solution to this problem is? So Tosfos suggests that maybe this din of Dvarim Shemichsav Yeta Rosh Hashanah V'Yapeh only applies to Pesukim that most people don't know. So Tosfos says, what's the idea? Why is it Dvarim Shemichsav Yeta Rosh Hashanah V'Yapeh? What's so terrible? What's so gefrelich about just getting up in Precious Balakim? What's so bad? So Tosfos seems to understand it's like a siyag. The Torah wants us to make sure that the Torah doesn't get distorted, to make sure the Torah Shemichsav doesn't get distorted. So if people are going to be saying Pesukim right and left and not looking in the text, not looking in the source, not looking in the Sefer Torah, so they're going to make mistakes, and then people are going to forget what the real text of the Torah is. So to make sure that doesn't happen, so the Torah wants to make sure that everybody always reads, whenever you say a pasuk, always take out the Sefer Torah and read it from the Sefer Torah. Don't just throw Pesukim around. So Tosfos writes, those are Pesukim that people don't know, but Pesukim that people say all the time. Everybody says this Pesukim all the time. What's going to get distorted? You're going to forget what Shema is. Every kid knows Shema Baal Peh. So comes Tosfos and says that the whole list appears to them only applies when you have a situation where you're saying a pasuk that most people don't know. You start reading about Eilu B'nei Seir Achori, you read Pesukim at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, so the average person doesn't know those, unless you're a good Balkari, the average person doesn't know half a Parshas Pekudeh B'al Peh. So you shouldn't just get up and start from Pesukim from Pekudeh, because you're going to make a mistake. But Shema Yisrael, Parshas Atomid, Bichas Konim, everyone knows this. You save enough time, everyone knows this Pesukim. It's Shabbat B'fi HaKol, therefore Tosfos writes, the whole list doesn't apply. So other Rishonim have a different answer to this question. Other Rishonim say that this Isser of Dvarim Shebichsav Yeta Rosh Al Neom B'Yapeh doesn't apply to you as a Yochid. The Gemara never meant that I'm not allowed to say a Pasuk B'Yapeh. There was never such an Isser. The Isser of saying things B'Yapeh means if I want to be Maitzi you in something, so then there's a Tzura how I Maitzi you. If I want to be Motzi you in a Pasuk, so then I have to read the Pasuk B'Yitech Eksav. Like when I want to be made to you in the Megillah, I have to read it mitach eksav. I want to be made to you in Parshas Zohar, I have to read it mitach eksav. When one person is motzi somebody else, then there's a din of mitach eksav. If I'm saying a pasuk for myself, I'm not being made to you. I'm being yaitze my own birchas karnim. I'm being yaitze my own Parshat Tomid. I'm being yaitze my own kriyashma. What do I need? I have to pull out a Sefer Torah for what? The whole idea of bringing out a Sefer Torah is only when I want to be motzi somebody else. What's the idea of that? Well, how does that make any sense? Why should there be such a din that when I want to be mo'ed to you, I have to, I require a Sefer Torah? So I think maybe one could suggest the possible beer, why there should be such a distinction. The Rambam in his Akdama, the Perish of Mishnayis, points out that even though the din is that you're not really allowed to write down Tosha B'Peh, the Rambam says, what that means is like this. That means is, you're not allowed to be Moser Torah from one generation to the next from a Ksav, from a written text, until the days of Rabbi Danaz, until they changed the din, until they plugged in the Kula of Eis Lassel, Sashem Leferes HaSecha, so until that Kula was put into place, so then the din was that you weren't allowed to be Moser Torah from one generation to the next, B'Tech HaKsav. So every Rebbe had to teach his Talmud B'Al Peh. So when I was teaching you Hilchos Shabbos, I have to say it b'al peh. I was teaching you how to shecht an animal, I have to say it b'al peh. I'm teaching you how to bring a korban, I have to b'al peh. I can't open up a text and start reading out to you. That's what the din is, that the Torah Shabbat peh has to remain b'al peh. It says the Rambam, what about when a person was learning by themselves? So if you're saying a shir and I'm listening to the shir, I'm not allowed to write down notes, says the Rambam. How am I going to remember it? Says the Rambam. Even the days of my shir benu, you think people didn't take notes? Of course you have shir benu. If you didn't remember something, of course you wrote it down. So everybody wrote things down. From Davis, there were people jotting down notes, symbols, ways to remember different halachas. The halacha never asked that. There was never an issa to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. The issa was mesiris Torah Shabbat Peh. The issa was that there's a tzura that you have to be mosa Torah from one person to the next. So the mesiris Torah has to be Torah Shabbat Chsav and Torah Shabbat Peh B'al Peh. But leave it at Torah. A person's learning on his own. Avadi allowed to learn. Avadi allowed to learn things. If you're afraid you're personally going to forget, Avadi, you can write it down. So you can take notes from the shiur. But then when it comes time for you to say the shiur to somebody else, then you have to close the notebook. That's what the Talmud Torah of Tosh Rappel was in the olden days. The chiddush of Rabbi Danasi and Ravin Ravashi was that we can now learn mitoch haksav and we can now teach mitoch haksav. I can open up a gemara and read the gemara shiur. I can read the Mishnayos. I can learn from a text. I can present to you the Torah Shabbat Peh, no longer really be Peh. That was the Chiddush. But the fact that as an individual, as a Yochid, I can write down my own private notes. There was never this Lohid Vamiyalim, the Rambam writes. So if that's true, so then maybe we can understand the same when it comes to Torah Shabbat Chsav. If I'm learning something by myself, I'm saying my own Kriya Shema, I'm saying my own Parshat Tomid, I can do whatever I want. I could say it mitoch haksav, I can do it mitoch peh. What's the difference? But once I start to say it for others, once I'm most of the Torah to others, by Torah Shabbat Peh, I'm giving a gemara shiur, that's called most of the Torah to others. By Torah Shabbat Chsav, when I'm reading the pasuk for you, I'm enabling you to be yetzi your mitzvah. I'm being motzi you in Parsha Zoch, I'm being motzi you in Kriya Megillah, I'm being motzi you in Psukim. So then, once the Torah goes from one person to the next, there's a din of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina, the Torah has to be nimtza the same way it was given. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave it to us in two different ways. He gave it to us Torah Shabbat Chsav and Torah Shabbat Peh. So whenever we hand over that Torah to somebody else, Torah Shabbat Chsav has to go one route, Torah Shabbat Peh has to go another route. What you do in the privacy of your own home, there was never a din, there was never a limitation whatsoever. So maybe that's the lumdus within these rishon.
Is there anything like that in tefillah, as far as staff, as comparison, so it's calling all those things, and that you want to be motzi someone else,
that
you have to read it,
because to be in a so according to this second interpretation, anytime you motzi somebody in something, then it has to be read. Then it's
so,
kind
of, so let's say, so people are concerned are shas.
No, but there's no psukim there. It's only when you're doing psukim, reading words of tefillah, you can do whatever you want.
And
I'm not being motzi somebody in Birchus Kohanim. I'm saying Birchus Kohanim. I'm fulfilling my mitzvah Birchus Kohanim. I'm not being motzi in Birchus Kohanim. So there are very few places that are Kriyas HaTorah that we do mitoch haksav. Kriyas HaMegillah we do mitoch haksav. Pasha Zoch we do mitoch haksav. So those examples when I'm motzi somebody with Hakadut out of a sefer.
So then, sorry to belabor the point. So then, when we'll go back to the previous year when someone says Birchus HaShachar to someone who didn't.
But there's no psukim there. It's not psukim. The answer is only on psukim. Right. So again, so you have two different interpretations as to what possible reason is it that we're not machmen. Nobody starts pulling out a Sefer Torah before they say Kriya Shema to read the Pesukim from the Sefer Torah. So according to one group of Rishonim, it's because it's Shagam Fi Yakol. According to the other group of Rishonim, it's because you're not being Baitzi somebody. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the first group of Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch says the reason why you're allowed to say Shema and you're allowed to say Parshat HaTamid, Baal Peh, is because everybody knows the Pesukim anyway. And the Vilna Gaon says he thinks that the second group of Rishonim are more correct. He thinks that those Rishonim who say that it's a function of being motzi somebody are the more correct ones. So 99% of the time, there's not much of a difference between the two, because Parshat HaTamid, Salamaisa, most people know. If you daven enough times, you know it. Kriya Shema, people know about Peh. Birchus Kohanim, people know about Peh. So most of the time, you don't have much enough kamina. But every once in a while, you have an example of something which it is a fairly regular series of psukim, but you are trying to be motzi somebody, is it appropriate to do it b'al peh or not? So one of the examples that the Poskim raise is the Parsha Vayechulu. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that everybody's supposed to say Vayechulu on Friday night. So we fulfill that din in Davening Ma'ariv. So we say Vayechulu Ma'ariv. Sure, say Yod say Vayechulu. Then we have a minig that we say Vayechulu a second time around after Shmoneh Esrei is over. That's because every once in a while you have a Yontif and a Shabbos coincide. So we daven nusach of tefila of yantif, and the nusach of tefila of yantif, it doesn't have ayichulu. So and for those 2-3 times a year, they have a yantif and Shabbos on the same night, so you're going to lose out the saying of ayichulu. So therefore, Chazal instituted that you say ayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei as well. And once it's there for those couple of nights, so we stuck it in for every Friday night as well. That's why we say the second ayichulu, second time around. And then why do we say ayichulu a third time around? We make kiddush. I already said ayichulu. So that's what the Rishonim explained, because my wife didn't have Eichulu. My wife probably didn't have Ma'ariv yet. The little kids didn't have Ma'ariv. So we want everybody to have Eichulu as well. You could be Yaitzeh Kiddush without Eichulu. The real text of Kiddush begins with Bar Pei Gofen in the Torah, but the Rabbani Yaitzeh Kiddush without Eichulu. But since he is supposed to say Eichulu anyway, to be made, that the Rishonim created the world, so therefore we say it 3 times during the course of Friday night. So the third time that we say it is to be Maitzi, my wife, and Maitzi, my kids, in the saying of Eichulu. So some raise the question, if you want to be mitzi somebody, that's already a whole different ballgame. If you want to be mitzi somebody in something, then you run to a shaila of Dvarim Shebal Peh, Dvarim Shebichsav, Yeta Rosh Alam Bial Peh. How can you do that without saying it from a text? So according to Taisus, it's not a kash. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a problem. Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, the whole issue of Dvarim Shebichsav is only psukim that people aren't familiar with. Who doesn't know Vaychul? You make kiddush every Friday night for 50 years. So Mustami, you know Vaychul already by heart. So according to Taisus and the Shulchan Aruch, it wouldn't be a problem to say Vaychulu bial peh. But according to the Gra, according to those Rishonim who say that saying by heart is not really the issue, it's whether I'm being motzi somebody or not. Anytime I'm motzi somebody, that's a problem, so then that would be a problem. So then you couldn't say Vaychulu unless you actually read a mitach ha-sefer. What would it mean, mitach ha-sefer? To fill out Sefer Torah. That's a new chumrah. That you can't make kiddush unless you're holding a Sefer Torah. So I don't think anybody goes that far. So some are machmer that they take a bencher. Some are machmer that they won't say kiddush unless they have a sitter in front or have a bencher in front of them. Not for the kiddush word. They know kiddush bal peh. They know vechulu bal peh also, but some chayshesh. But just in case there's a din of being motzi somebody in vechulu, so they want it to be at least a little bit mitach
eksav. How come by the second vechulu, one of the doesn't say the tzibur? You have to say to somebody else. You
can't
say it alone.
No, you don't have to. Mishnah Berurah has such a chumrah. Mishnah Berurah says
a lot of people are mocked that they come over to me or something. Right. Hey, I missed it. I didn't say what to say, right. Or I can't say it alone.
Yes. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah has a quote, say chumrah, that since the saying of Eichul is supposed to be an edus that the Rishonim created the world, so each time you say Eichulu, it should try to be an edus together with somebody else. So the Chazanish was opposed to that. The Chazanish thought that was not a correct minhag. The Chazanish thought that the medva mamurim that you have to get another aid, that's when there's a latest asafik about something. We don't know. Did Reuven kill Shimon? Did Reuven break Shimon's window? We don't know. So we got to get the aidim together. By Bria Shemayim Varetz, it's like a person saying, wait, I'm about to testify the Ribbono Shalom created the world, but I'm not so sure. Let me make sure I have somebody with me. So that's wrong. That's like a Pchisas HaKavod of the Eidus of Bria Shemayim Varetz. So yesh v'yesh, different hugim. There's someone mock v'dafke to get another aid, and there's someone saying, no, just say it. Say it by yourself.
So when you're to the second
one, Yaitzim by your own. Chazanish says it's not a good thing to run around getting somebody else. But they're different opinions. What I usually try to do is I'm never finished. I'm never ready for the Chazan. So those who notice, what I usually try to do is, usually Friday night I give the nod to the Bal Tefila to say Vaychulu, usually when I'm up to Vaychulu in my Shemoneh Esrei. So that way I get it, I'm saying Vaychulu the same time he's saying Vaychulu, so I get my Afish and I made him Yechon Dover. It's just my own little shtick. I don't have to, that doesn't make a difference.
The Rav doesn't have to say it again and finish, because once
you say I say it a second time, because the Gaon, Shalom says, should say it a second time, but at least one of my Vaychulus I get, I think everybody else doesn't get the first Vaychulu Afish and I made him, because not everyone's stopping at the same point. So everybody misses the first, but they get the second. So I missed the second, but I get the first. So everyone's happy.
I see the Rebbe, you have the whole field davening the same way.
Yeah. Is that just my kiddush or all brachos? For Abdullah to read it?
No, so Abdullah, because I'm not going to be mitzi anybody in psukim. I mean, you're saying psukim. It's only vaychul. Again, the whole thing vaychul is a chumra b'yam. It's a minig that it started for the last 20 years. But it's a new, fairly new chumra. You're not mechuyev. It's not mechuyev running around saying vaychul mitoch eksav. But that's where those who mark, but not, that's where it came from.
You shouldn't tell a person you can do it on your own. You don't have to bother me anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if you should tell him that. He's already asking you, so he's obviously holy like the Mishnah Berurah. If you live in Bnei Brak,
if you
don't, just say it. People come up to me also to say Vayechulu with them, so say it with them.
So the third Vayechulu is only
to be motzi your wife, right?
So person
in theory is not saying, doesn't have anyone else to say Kiddush, but theoretically starts with Bar Pei Gofen, right? The Eilim, I think, doesn't do that. Everyone starts Vayichul anyway. That's why those shuls that make Kiddush, so when they make Kiddush in shul, they don't say Vayichul. They don't start Vayichul. What are you starting Vayichul for? So you just said Vayichul 10 seconds ago. Everyone's here. So the minute is, I think everybody always starts Vayichul. There are different opinions where you start exactly with Vayichul, because the minute is we want to say Yom HaShishi also. So then they added on, you want to say Vayyer Vayvoki Yom HaShishi. So some Achronim had a problem with that, because that's right smack in the middle of a Pasuk. The Gemara says in Brachas that called Psukid Lepaskin Moshe, not Lepaskinim. That wherever the, you're not supposed to say half a Pasuk. You're supposed to say an entire Pasuk. So some had a problem. How could you start Vayichul in the middle of nowhere? Vayyer Vayvoki Yom HaShishi. It's right smack in the middle of a Pasuk. So some say for the truth, but to try to explain away where in the world that practice came from. So others thought that the practice was not correct. They should not start from the beginning of the pasuk. So there are some who say, "Vayal kimes kolosha savi neitova o vayar vaybochu yamashishi." So some sidurim ready, some benches ready has that printed. It says, "Yesh matchilu mikan vayar kimes kolosha asa." So I say that part quietly because I make a whole ton around about it. So, but I say it, and I mumble it under my breath until I get to the Yer Vayibokha Yom HaShishi. But again, Yesh V'Yesh, some do it, some don't, say that introduction. Anyway, getting back to the story, so about the Karbanah. So we have the two official reasons in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra from the Rishonim as to why we're not so careful about saying Pesukim V'Al Peh, either because they're Shkur V'Fi HaKol, everybody knows the Pesukim, or because they're not being motzi anybody per se. So Rabbeinu Yonah Maseches Brachos quotes a third interpretation as to why certain psukim we don't say mitoch ha'ksav, based on the following. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that there are certain psukim in the Torah that are given to us by Torah's mitzvah. It means we're supposed to use these psukim to fulfill certain mitzvahs with them. For example, Kriya Shema. So you could either learn the psukim of Kriya Shema, or you could say the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, or the parasha of Chalitza, the parasha of Bechizkon, the parasha of Mikra Bikura. There are psukim where sometimes there's a mitzvah to say pasuk X, Y, and Z. So Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from Rishonim say that b'med dvarim amurim, there's a din of dvarim shebichsav that you're not supposed to say b'al peh. That's when you're learning Torah. When I'm learning Sefer Breishis, so I should learn it mitoch ha'ksav. When I'm learning Sefer Dvarim, I should learn mitoch ha'ksav. When I'm being yetzei mitzvahs, I'm using a pasuk as a vehicle to fulfill a mitzvah. There's no din of dvarim shebichsav. That's not limud Torah. That's shmiras mitzvahs. That's using a pasuk from the chumash to be yetzei mitzvah with. So Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from Rishonim say that the whole din of dvarim shebichsav b'chlal doesn't apply there. So if I'm being yetzei the din of Kriya Shema, so then I'm allowed to say Kriya Shema b'al peh. Then Rabbeinu Yonah goes one step further, and he says that now let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm learning Parshas Vaschanon, and I happen to get up to the pasuk about Kriya Shema. I'm not being yetzei Kriya Shema anymore. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, no, that's also okay. Once you have a certain psukim, that these psukim are mitzvah psukim, any pasuk that's a mitzvah-oriented pasuk, you're even allowed to say Shalom B'Torah's mitzvah. Once these psukim are mufkarim, these are exempt from the din of Dvarim Shebichsav, Yeta Rosh Shalom Yom V'Apeh, then they're exempt Lagamri. So the din of Dvarim Shebichsav, the Issa D'Raisa, the Dvarim Shebichsav, Yeta Rosh Shalom Yom V'Apeh, only applies to those psukim that I never use B'Torah's mitzvah. They're only used B'Torah's limud. But once you have psukim that can double as limud or as mitzvah, so then the whole list of Dvarim Shebichsav doesn't apply to them. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, that's why you can say Shema V'Apeh, and you can say Bechizkonim B'al Peh, you can read Bikur Bikurim Arami Yovirovi B'al Peh, any pasuk that sometimes uses the mitzvah, you can say it B'al Peh. So then Rabbeinu Yonah comes to the punchline and he says, that's the reason why you can say the Pashas HaTomid B'al Peh as well. Why? Because the Pashas HaTomid is not being said B'Torah's Talmud, it's a mitzvah pasuk. There's the great mitzvah, which is the 613 mitzvahs, is there to say Pashas Talmud. So Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Gemara Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu with the Bris Ben Bessarim that they could get Eretz Yisrael, so Avraham Avinu asks, "Bama Eda Ki Rashana." So Rashi quotes from Chazal, "The Ezer Schus, am I going to be Yerush Eretz Yisrael?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu just promised you this great gift of Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham was wondering, "Bischus Ma, we can get it for free, Bischus Ma." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, "Kali Eglim Shaleshes." He made the Bris Ben Bessarim. What was the significance of that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Avraham Avinu and saying that Bischus HaKabanos you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. That's going to give Klai Yisrael the Schus of Eretz Yisrael. So then the Gemara says in Megillah that Avraham turns around to the Rebbeinu Shlom and says, so I understand when the Beis Mikdash is standing, so the offering of Karbanos will enable us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. But Bizmancha ain't Beis Mikdash Kayim, how are we ever going to get back to Eretz Yisrael? If we don't have a Beis Mikdash, what's chus will we ever come back to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, Bizchus HaKarbanos, that if you say the Karbanos, you learn the Karbanos, you daven the Karbanos, that's going to be Ki'ilu, you brought the Karbanos, like we said before, and it's the chus of the Amiras HaPsukim of Karbanos that's ultimately going to get Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what pointed out historically. You know, there are a lot of History books, they tell you about all the different forces that went into getting Klai Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. They'll tell you about World War I and nationalism and this and that. They'll give you a half dozen reasons of your history, why Klai Yisrael somehow ended up to be Zeuch and go back to Eretz Yisrael. But what the history books don't tell you are the real reasons why. Because the Chofetz Chaim, in the beginning of the 1900s, they had made a whole push that there should be a limit of Kachim. Limit of Kachim for 2,000 years. How many people learn Kachim? It should be Yochid, should be Yechidim, learn Kachim. Nobody was learning Kachim. The Chofetz Chaim pushed Kachim, and then a little bit later on, the Brisker started to push Kachim. So it became a whole new thing called Limit of Kachim. It was unheard of for thousands of years that people were learning B'Kviyas Kachim. Before Daf Yomi, most people didn't know that Shas continued after Nezikin. Said, no, who learned Tzavachim? Which Balabatim learned Menachis? It's unheard of. So was that tremendous push of learning Kachim that all of a sudden tipped the scales in Shemayim that gave Klai Yisrael this chus to go back there to Israel? So Rabbi Yonah writes that the saying of the Psukim of Karbanos is a mitzvah d'araisa. What's the mitzvah? It's following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, say Karbanos, learn Karbanos, be osik in the inyan of Karbanos, and that's chus, you'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a mitzvah d'araisa. The Rabbi Yonah told us to do it. It doesn't have to be in the Chumash itself. We have a tradition, we have a Messiah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Avraham Avinu to tell his children to be involved in the saying of Karbanos. So then, that's good enough for me. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. That's a din min HaTorah. So Rabbi Yoni uses that Gemara as a mamash, a din d'araisa. He understood that Gemara Kapshuto, that it's mamash, it takes on the status of a din d'araisa, and therefore, if a person says the psuchim of Karbanos, bi'alpeh, that's okay. That's like saying Shema bi'alpeh. That's like saying Birchas Kohanim, Bikurim, Parshas Chalitza, because those are psuchim that are mitzvah psuchim. Any mitzvah that's a mitzvah pasuk automatically can be said bi'alpeh. We have no hesitation, no qualms, no concerns about saying that pasuk bi'alpeh. If you want to know how serious Karbanos is in davening, Rabbeinu Yonah just took it from being a minute to being a din d'araisa. That's what Meshecht always says. He says, people misunderstand the significance of davening. He said, most people, they say Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaShachar is only d'rabbanim, so it is Zimra. It's maybe d'rabbanim, maybe a minute. Birchas Kriyash Mezicha d'rabbanim. Tefillah, everything is d'rabbanim. What's the most important part of davening? Karbanos. That's the part that's d'araisa. So you have to reshift your schedule. You have to make sure to say Karbanos every day. So we'll talk hopefully next week. How much Karbanos? Which Karbanos? What Karbanos? That's a whole different story. But the saying of Karbanos every day is an integral part of davening, according to Ben Yonim, even as a Shaila, as a Shaila B'Deraisa, the recitation of Karbanos.